Hi, this is Ernie Fazio, and the show is Earnestly Speaking. I'm talking to Aaron Meyer today. He's got quite a bit of expertise in the Middle East because he lived there, and he lived in Israel, actually, and has done... you did government work, too, in Israel as well, didn't you, in your security measures?
I did some work for the for and with the government, yes.
I see. When we closed the last part of this segment, we were talking about the economic threat posed by Iran. First of all, is my perception of Iran as being sophisticated enough to be a player correct?
Well, I'm going to have to say yes and no again.
Damn
reason
you lawyers.
For that, we do argue in the alternative a lot. Don't worry, I was like that as a child. But basically, if you go back again, and I look at the revolution, and that makes a big difference. You look before the revolution, you had for all of the issues with the Iranian government pre-revolution, and there's no question that there were quite a few. You had a very well-educated, not only elite but middle class. And to some extent, you still have a well-educated middle class.
Was that middle class basically the Jews, or was it broader?
I would say it was definitely broader. It was a much more cosmopolitan.
Because a lot of the Jews didn't stay.
Oh, well, anyone who could get out
did.
I've known a number of people who had to flee over the mountains and have talked at length about the exposure, the dangers of fleeing, but not a single one of them ever regretted it.
Yeah.
Because they saw the writing on the wall.
All right, that's aside. Let's go back to what we were saying.
Right.
The economic potential.
So there are a couple of issues. First, the Iranian economy, I would say, has stagnated to a significant degree since 79. Now, the latest round of sanctions has some role to play with that. The Iran-Iraq war also set them back significantly. And the fact that, again, Khomeiniist Islam is a controlling type of religiously based government. And so you have a population that was predisposed towards economic development, intellectual growth. And then you had, unfortunately, a regime that came in and put a real cap on it in many ways, and they're still dealing with that. Now, the encouraging signs, of course, the Arab Spring may have been short-lived, but even in Iran, you saw demonstrations of younger, educated individuals who were coming out and trying to speak up for their rights. That is what I would look towards. I wouldn't even look to the middle-aged population there.
You mean that? They may be lost.
They, unfortunately, I don't see that they have a significant window. But much like any other regime that's based on a radicalized form of a religion, a politicized form, let's say, I would say that the younger generation will have an opportunity to develop, if they're given the opportunity. That's always the catch, because you still have the mullahs, you still have the revolutionary guards out there, trying to do what they can. But you do have a younger generation that's looking at it. They're comfortable with their religion, but they also want to be part of the world.
Are they religious? You know, I've been to Turkey. The Turks are not religious. They're all Muslim, but they're not religious. They go to church like I would have gone to church for my mother. You know, I don't want mom to be upset. I'm going to church, okay, you know. That's the way they are, I think.
And there would certainly be a wide range. Again, if you look at pre-revolution Iran, I said cosmopolitan, there was that range. You had Shia is a little different than Turkish Islam anyway. But yeah, you could have a wide range. It's Khomeiniism that does not lend itself to really any sort of moderate or modern interpretation. I mean, fundamentally speaking. But the people that have grown up with that, you have women in Iran who might...
They have grown up with it, but they haven't accepted it, is my opinion. Do you agree with that or disagree?
I certainly hope so, and I think I agree as well, because you saw the demonstrations a few years ago. They did come out, which I don't think we have any sort of analogy here for what it would take to protest, to demonstrate in really any Middle Eastern country, especially one like Iran. So for these younger people to come out and stand
pretty
in
courageous.
Public, I really can't think of any sort of parallel that from my experience. Certainly.
Well, Tiananmen Square.
Yeah, you could certainly say that.
That was very dangerous, and they found out how dangerous that was.
Yes, but in the U.S., thankfully, it speaks to the freedom that we have. I would say we don't have a real...
Well, we had Kent State, 4 people shot. It's still not on the scale of the insanity that we look at in some of these countries when you're talking about suppressing a population. But it happens everywhere to some degree or another until the people really gain a little power. Power is interesting, by the way. It's mostly intellectual in the end, because you can't fight bullets.
Very true. And if you want to hear a weird side note to all of this, in 79, you had the revolution. Everybody was fed up with the Shah. Khomeini, in according to some of my old professors at the New School and elsewhere, Khomeini somewhat backed into power as far as they were concerned, because he didn't have he had a plan. He had a religious plan. He didn't have a ruling plan. The student communists had played a significant role. But once the revolution occurred, they were caught flat-footed. And so you had all of these groups that had played...
When you say caught flat-footed, they didn't know how to govern.
And they weren't in a position to even expect to develop a plan. But you had Khomeini who his supporters who did say, well, no, we do have a structure that we can impose. We do have all of these things. Oh, well...
And that's where the supreme leader... the idea came from and remained.
Yes, unfortunately for the Iranian people, certainly.
Mm. So here's a scenario that I see. It's a very optimistic one, but it's I like to hope, you know. If there is a deal on the nuclear power and we can monitor that for 10 years, 10 years is a long time. I know, according to Netanyahu, it's tomorrow. It's the day after tomorrow. Maybe it's even closer than that. But it is a long time. And people who are 70 are now either 80 and not powerful or dead. People who are 30 have found their power. They're 40. You know, we find a lot of our power at about age 40. That creates a dynamic altogether new. And here's what I'm thinking. We get real lucky, and we get the deal we want to begin with. That has to be solid. We'll see change that actually ferments from within, that people will say, hey, we're making a bunch of money here. We're dealing with everybody in the world. We have a good relationship with Israel. We got a lot of things going for ourselves. We don't want this nonsense anymore.
For many of the people, I would say absolutely. The stopping block is still going to be that upper level, that leadership structure, which understandably will see just that sort of mindset, that looking out as a real threat to their own grasp of power. That's the part that worries me.
And they'll try to suppress it.
And as we've unfortunately seen all too many times, they will suppress it ruthlessly if need be.
Yeah. Good, but I alluded to a scenario where this functioning, I wouldn't call it a functional democracy, but a functional republic where, it's getting closer to democracy, has a good relationship with Israel. Do you see a possibility there?
Well, that's certainly my dream. And if you've read Bernard Lewis's writings, that's something that he's certainly posited.
I'm not familiar with his writings, but go ahead.
He's a very esteemed Middle East scholar. And
the only thing I do is read the Jewish newspaper. Do you know? I really do. I read the Jewish World every week.
Oh, all right.
and this is where I get a lot of my ideas about the right wing in, is it pretty right wing? Do you read the paper yourself?
I am definitely familiar with it, yes, and okay. I get their articles.
They're a little on the right wing side, but I like to read the right wing because, you know, if you don't know what they're saying, you don't know how to perceive things, you know, so you have to read. So anyway, that's I see a lot of optimism, but then again, I've been trying to get maglev for the last 12 years. I haven't been too successful at that either. This is fun. I'm talking to my friend Aaron Meyer, and we're talking about things that we both have a little knowledge about. He's got a lot more than I do, but it's very interesting. We'll be back for another segment. This is Ernie Fazio. The show is Earnestly Speaking, and this is LI News Radio 103.9.